Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's our final hour. Not the final hour of the Wizards Draft Show, of course, because that is going till 11 o'clock with Lino Willingham, Craig Hoffman with you, as this is still technically also the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you see that I should have worn a nicer shirt. That is a well-dressed Chase Hughes.
It's draft night. You don't know if they're going to call your name, right? You got to be ready.
I'm sure at a press conference, your name will be called, and then you'll ask Will Dawkins a question. Of course, Monumental Sports Network, Wizards Insider, and a guy who just, we were just talking about the break, man. You love the draft.
Like, when, it's my favorite thing.
What's the first draft you remember being like, oh, I love this?
Oh, man, I've watched it my entire life. It's been one of my favorite things, especially before the picks got leaked on Twitter. If you're a fan out there and you don't have to follow it on Twitter, don't. It's a much better
TV. You don't have to be on social media tonight.
That's what I do for the NFL draft. I'm a Commanders fan. I watch the pick on TV, and then I pick up my phone and see what people are saying about it. But I've loved it for a long time. I would probably say going back to, like, I think it was like 2007, I was a Wizards fan, and the Wizards got Nick Young and Dominic McGuire. And I remember seeing them in summer league and thinking they were going to be so good. But honestly, my first draft memories are like Rasheed Wallace and like Jerry Stackhouse days. So I go pretty far back.
That's some deep cuts right there. This draft is so interesting to me because obviously this would be a lot simpler night if this was just. I mean, it actually would have been a harder radio show in some ways. It's like, hey guys, Cooper Flagg's coming. Like that would have been awesome. That would have been better for the long term. Although sometimes the acute, it's more interesting if there's options to talk about. So we know that's not happening. We're pretty sure that two's not happening. That the Spurs are just going to take Dylan Harper. They're not going to trade. And also, like, I mean, look, I love me like some Corey Kispert, for instance. But like, I don't know if that's going to be enough to get you up to the second pick. So is there a chance they trade up to 3, 4, or 5? Certainly. But at 6. Is there a player you look at and you go, that's the guy I hope falls to Washington?
That I hope falls to Washington? I think a great scenario would be if Trey Johnson was there of Texas. I don't expect him to be, but you never know. I think VJ Edgecombe is a pretty safe bet to go third unless Philly does something and trades back. He's the best athlete in the draft, superstar defensive player on the perimeter, and I think has a chance to be a really good offensive player too. After that, I think Trey Johnson is the fourth best prospect in this draft. I think he could be a Devin Booker-like scorer. So I think it just doesn't make sense that he would be there at 6 because he's the type of player and the type of athlete that isn't usually there. So I think that would probably be the best-case scenario. But I think the Wizards are in a good spot, especially if they're looking to add some offense. They focused on defense the last 2 years. If it's not Trey Johnson, there's going to be a guy with a really high offensive ceiling right there for them to take.
I love everything you just said. No, Chase and I have not exchanged notes. We both comped Trey Johnson and Devin Booker independently. That is, I mean, I'm sure that's other places too, but like,
he studies Devin Booker. I asked him at the combine. He said Devin Booker, so we're all thinking the same thing.
I remember watching him and just being like, God, the Booker vibes are strong. You try to stay away from that, right? Because like, Devin Booker 3 years ago was the best player on an NBA Finals team. Like, Devin Booker, he was an Olympian. Like, this a starter on the Olympic team. Like, this dude is such a good player. I know Phoenix is a nightmare right now, but like, Devin Booker is a freaking baller. And if they can get Devin Booker at 6, like, that is a steal. So obviously that would be huge shoes to fill for Trey Johnson, but just the scoring, the shot making, the size, we'll see what he can be on defense. But I think the thing that's interesting for him versus, say, Ace Bailey, why I would put Johnson over Bailey personally, acknowledging that I haven't done conversations with these guys and so many of the important pieces of a just watching the tape, thinking about the player profile and how it fits. The shooting, like, next levelness of Johnson, to me, is a separator. I think Ace Bailey's obviously a tremendous shot creator. How that translates to the league, I think, is a question. I don't have that as much of a question about that with Johnson, and I think there's a shooting upside that might not be there with Bailey. Do you agree with that on the Bailey versus Johnson, like, offensive wing player comparison?
Yeah, I think Ace Bailey in some respects is a little bit taller version of Trey Johnson, but Trey Johnson is just a better, more productive player. At least he was in college, right? He shot a much higher percentage. He was really good off the catch. He was really good off the dribble. Both of them struggle at getting to the rim. Now, Ace Bailey offers a little more on the defensive end. He's also a better rebounder, so you could consider him a more versatile player. But Trey Johnson, you know, it doesn't really match the eye test, but he's more athletic if you go off by combine numbers. You know, Trey Johnson's not just a shooter. He's a 6'6 shooting guard who can also jump really high. He had like a 38-inch vertical leap at the combine. So I think he's plenty athletic, tremendous at moving without the ball. He's a really serious guy. Not that Ace Bailey isn't, but, you know, I interviewed both of these guys at the combine, and Trey Johnson said he is like 100% strictly basketball. Like, he does not even really watch TV. He listens to music a little bit. His only hobby is basketball. He said he just recently was given a book. I forget the book. It's some like self-help book. He's trying to sort of broaden his horizons. But that guy is an absolute gym rat, and I think it shows when you watch him on the court.
Bailey and Jeremiah Fears, the point guard from Oklahoma, to me are the two most intriguing prospects through a Wizards lens. Not necessarily best fits, like intriguing in the true sense of the word. I'm like, I wonder how a couple floors down from us these guys fit on their board. Because I can make the argument for both. I can make the argument against both. Obviously, there's the reports that are out there that we assume are correct on Jordan Poole trade. So Fears having more minutes available at the point guard spot is a factor here. But it, like, let's say the choice is down to those two. Do you have a strong lean either direction between Fears? So that would mean like Johnson's off the board, Konkanipal's off the board. Let's see, we need one more. Edgecombe goes off the board. So now it's, you're looking at Fears and Bailey as kind of that group of six next two, the last two remaining. Do you have a strong lean either way in your own personal preference?
I'd probably lean Ace Bailey is more likely because the Wizards, they covet positional size. It's been a through line for every draft pick they've made, right? And that's one thing that Jeremiah Fears does not have. He's 6'2 and a half without shoes. He's about the same size as like a Darius Garland on the court. Ace Bailey, a lot was made about how he's not as tall as he was listed. He was listed 6'10 at Rutgers, kind of inexplicably. I saw it right away when I saw him play in person at Maryland. He's shorter than Juju Reese. He's not 6'10", but he's still 6'7 and a half without shoes. And with that jumper, like, he's got the positional size. He also offers, I think, a little more on the defensive end than Jeremiah Fears. So he sort of fits the Wizards' mold. Both of these guys, though, are really young. They both reclassified to go into school early. So they're the age of a high school senior. They should not be going through the draft process. Right.
They should have just finished prom.
Yeah, exactly. NIL has changed everything because now they can make millions in college, so they're going in early. So they both have their strengths and weaknesses. For Jeremiah Fears, what does stand out and is really interesting is he is arguably the best player in this draft at getting to the rim and getting free throws. And not just getting to the line, but knocking down 85% of them. That's a really high number. So he could generate offense for himself by doing that. And Ace Bailey, on the other hand, is more of the outside shooter. Jeremiah Fears, less efficient, too many turnovers. So it's really splitting hairs, but I think what comes down to the common denominator for both of those guys is what I said. They're both high-end scoring talents.
Yeah, for sure. The character stuff is also what I worry, or not worry about, what I'm curious about, right? And the Bailey stuff is particularly interesting on that front because, and I'm curious, like, your impressions of talking to him, because there's just nothing like having a face-to-face conversation with a kid. Now, the conversations that you have as a media member are different than the ones he's having with teams, than the ones he'll have with teammates. Like, that's a given. But I haven't talked to Ace Bailey. Chase has. So we're going to use Chase's expertise being here. No one's like, he's a bad kid. People, the rap is more that he is immature, that there is growing to do in terms of like his professionalism, in terms of approach to the game, in a contrast to, say, Trey Johnson or Cooper Flagg or Dylan Harper, that it's there's immense talent there, but are we going to get it out of him? And, like, will he take it seriously enough? But also, you listen to Dylan Harper talk about him, and he's like, that dude brings the best energy to the locker room. I loved being his teammate. So what do you make of kind of the kid, Ace Bailey? And then I don't know if you talked to Fears as well. What can you tell us about him in that regard?
the word I would use for Ace Bailey is just unpolished, right? And as I was watching him and speaking with him, you know, it just kind of came off as a guy who hasn't really had the media coaching. But also, as I was hearing him talk, I was like, man, this guy should be a high school senior. Like, imagine being in that position. Like, you're about to be a high draft pick. You've got all the talent in the world. And yes, it's a very different situation answering these questions with teams and the media. But they're getting asked the same questions, right? He's getting asked, why didn't Rutgers win? He's getting asked, why didn't you pass the ball? You know, he had 11 games without any assists last year.
Yeah.
You know, what type of player are you going to be at the next level? How can you help a team win? And so I think you're hearing some of the same responses they give those teams. And my read on him was he's a very confident guy, and it's just really hard to project what he's going to be at 25 years old, not only as a player, but you also got to do that as a person. And you just got to keep in mind these guys are so young. And Jeremiah Fears, I would say, is a little more polished, but same thing. He's just a kid, you know, a confident kid who believes he could be the best player in this draft. But I think you're probably going to get a different impression from him 5 years from now when you speak to him.
For sure. And I think one thing that was a through line of the guys that they've taken so far is like competitiveness is just next level. For whatever it's worth, Anthony just texted and passed it along a report from Kristen Peek of Yahoo, I believe is where she's at now.
She was at Yahoo. I think she's on her own.
Okay, so yeah. She does a ton of draft stuff. Apparently, reporting that Ace Bailey had a private workout at some point with the Wizards. So the secret team that may have had a private work, like we were actually Josh Robbins was sitting in that chair an hour and a half ago, and we were like, I was like, would it surprise you if the Wizards or someone pulled off a private workout? And he was like, no. Not really.
All the Wizards workouts are private nowadays, by the way. Yeah. Wasn't the deal in the past, but that's how the new front office operates. So they might have worked out any number of these guys.
Yeah, but like, you know, with Bailey, the whole thing was like, oh, he didn't work out for anyone. And it's like, well, actually, apparently he did, yeah. According to Kirsten Peek. So take that for what it's worth. You know, and sometimes, you know, we talked about this in the NFL draft process. Logan and I talk about this a lot and, you know, everyone else. You can bring in a guy on a workout because you want to find out more, you want to confirm stuff, and then when he's there, you either confirm stuff or you don't. So just because he came in for a workout doesn't mean the workout went great. It could have been great, and there's a sign that like, oh, Ace Bailey to six, that's why everyone's connecting the dots. But they could have brought him in and been like, nah, not what we want. So we'll find out when they get on the clock if Ace Bailey's still there tonight, what they thought of him. One more wild card name I want to run by you. Maliuk, the center from Duke. First
Maliwatch.
Of all,
Maliwatch. I believe it is Maliwatch.
Maliwatch.
You know, forgive yourself for that. Last night I found out it's not Igor Demin, it's Jaeger Demin.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's no.
So you just got to get used to this stuff.
This is why.
It's not Kyshawn George, it's Keyshawn George.
Yes.
I found that out on draft night last year.
Yes.
So it happens.
So, like, this is why Dane Brugler, when you get done with your NFL draft guide, The Beast, which has pronunciations for every player, I just need you to do a quick 100 on the pronunciations only of the NBA.
You said the NFL? I was going to say, come on, man. The NFL names are much easier to pronounce than NBA names. These guys are coming from all over the world.
He literally has names for like 700 guys.
Right.
Like,
oh, I know.
What
the memory
does
recall
is ridiculous. So, Vecini over at The Athletic, if you want to do it in your draft, like, we need someone to do the name pronunciations. So, say it one more time.
Jaeger Demin.
No, the Duke Center.
Come on, Maliwatch is what I believe it is.
Come on, Maliwatch. The Duke Center.
Maliwatch, yes.
The Duke Center.
The big guy.
I can't say his name yet. I really like what I read about him. I really like what I see. What are the chances the Wizards go off the board at six and go, we're going to take the 7'2 athletic guy who showed us in FIBA he's got a lot more to his offensive game than he showed at Duke?
It's so funny because when they got the sixth pick on lottery night, I thought there was like no chance they would pick Kamon Mollich. He was the one guy who I immediately just ruled out because they picked Alex Haar last year. But I like Maliwatch a lot. And I actually, the more I think about it, I think they could actually fit if they go down that route. If they project Alex Haar as a four, and if they think he can develop his outside shot, then it makes a lot of sense to have a guy like Kamon Maliwatch who can do the more traditional center things. Sets greens. He's got great hands around the rim. He can throw down lobs. Things that Alex Haar will have to develop, but he seems more comfortable playing on the perimeter. And then defensively, the combination that they could make as rim protectors, I think it could look like Jared Allen and Evan Mobley in Cleveland, mm-hmm. where you have not just one, two guys you don't want to go into the paint and encounter. And when they're on the court at the same time, that's a big deal. Then you can stagger them. It really changes your defense for 48 minutes. So I think they could fit in that regard. The question would be shooting. Not only can Alex Saar develop his outside shot, but Kaman Malawach has gotten a lot of praise for his shooting potential. And I was at the NBA Draft Combine. I asked Con Knipple and Tyrese Proctor about him, his teammates at Duke, two of the best shooters in the draft. Both of them, unprompted, said he could be a great shooter. They said he's got great shooting touch. It just wasn't his role at Duke last year.
Yeah, Kaman Malawach. I feel like you said his name like seven times in that answer just to be like, Craig, if I say it enough, you'll get it. So Chase Hughes, my buddy, my pal, my name savior here in draft night. Anybody else that, like, is there a wild card name you're kind of watching, or is there anybody that particularly you love at 18 or you think they might trade up for? We'll end there.
A wild card, I'll throw out the name Jace Richardson, son of Jason Richardson.
Yes.
Two-time NBA dunk contest champion.
Although apparently Jace not quite the athlete that his dad was.
He's not quite as big.
Yeah.
He's very athletic. And I just did a deep dive. You can find it on my Twitter page. I went through the analytics of all these guys, the college prospects, which, by the way, was easier to do this year because everyone's coming out of college. He is 6'5" without shoes, but he finishes at a higher percentage at the rim than both Derek Queen and Thomas Sorber, some of the big men in this draft. And then they also break down percentages, three-point shooting from NBA range. He shot about 39% from NBA range. He shot 55% on threes in transition. He was really good from the corners, too. So when you really break it down and try to project what type of shooter he's going to be at the next level, that guy is going to be a really good shooter, because that's an adjustment for a lot of these young guys. And then we'll see about the size, and this is important for this, but he's also a really good defender.
Interesting, interesting. All right, Chase Hughes, what's your game plan for tonight? Where can people go to get stuff from you?
Yeah, so I'll be writing for MonumentalSportsNetwork.com, Monumental Plus app, and then Bijan Todd, my colleague, and I will also have a post-game, post-draft reaction on video that you can find on our YouTube page or our website.
There you go. And then follow, of course, on Twitter and everywhere else. Jace is on TikTok. He's everywhere, so make sure you follow him.
I guess.
Yeah, I am. I am on TikTok.
Doing a good job. I'm trying to catch up to you.
You're right. I am on TikTok. Sometimes I forget, because sometimes the comments I had one where the comments got out of control last week.
Really?
on something. I was like, I'm going to not check this for a hot second. so I should probably get back on there and make sure nothing's on fire. Anyway, that's Chase Hughes. When we get back, you, 301-230-0980. Who do you want to see the Wizards take tonight at 6, 301-230-0980? But first, the latest from the world of women's sports presented to you by Wawa. Hey, everybody, look, it's Josh Robbins. What was I saying? Oh, right. The latest in the world of women's sports presented to you by Wawa Chicken. How you want it? Wawa with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches. Yo, we're on the team at 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the team 980, where you see I am very clearly not. It would be sick if this was our studio, to be honest, like considering this backdrop. It looks like, Anthony, when I'm in my one shot and I have the Washington Monument there and the Jefferson Memorial there, it looks like I'm on like some cable news show. We go to Craig Hoffman now in D.C. for more on his perspective of this breaking news story. That's what I feel like. But that's like, this is not a fake backdrop. This is a window that's looking out over the actual, like over the National Mall as we're here at the wharf at Wizards Draft HQ.
No, it does look really nice. I wish I was down there. For some reason though. Outside of my window, it looks like it's about to rain, and I think I see the sun sort of kind of setting behind you.
It definitely rained a little bit earlier.
Oh, okay, so I wasn't tripping, okay.
Yeah, no, you were not. In this particular case, you were not tripping. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Coming up next, we will take your calls on who you want to see the Wizards draft. I made some comparisons earlier on Derek Queen. I was talking to Chase in the break after he was hanging with us. I was like, who's the upside version of this, of like the Derek Queen archetype? And I don't think he'll mind me saying this. I'm sure he said it other places. But like an Alperen Şengün, like, oh, that's the slow-footed guy who only does so much but is an awesome rebounder and scorer. And it works at a really, really, really high level. So if that's the case, like, hell yeah, I want Derek Queen at 6. The question is, are you Alperen Şengün? Are you Thomas Bryant? Or are you Jahlil Okafor? That's like the vertical of player that Derek Queen is in. and it can obviously work really well, or it could go to absolute bupkis.
One of the callers DM'd me and said Derek Queen reminds him of Al Jefferson.
That's another great one. Al Jefferson was an awesome player, borderline all-star for like 12 years.
Yeah, he was a problem on the block.
Really good. Yeah. He was really good. I just wonder the value of that kind of player in the modern NBA. And that is something that I think is like the curious part of all of this is like the skill sets change, the variance. And I was listening to, oh God, who was it? This is going to kill me. But no, it's not. I'm just not going to worry about it. I was listening to some smart NBA draft person recently. I think it was one of the Ringers guys on with Lowe. And he was like, you know, for Washington, I like the Queen fit specifically because of something that I said earlier. Obviously, he didn't know that I said it earlier, but it, now putting the pieces together of this tidbit that is somewhere in the back of my brain of like the Wizards could use a central hub for all of these really good complementary pieces to rotate around. And whether it's the guys like Kispert that have been there, or Bub, or Alex, or Keyshawn, or Bilal, like none of them are prime offensive guys. And so can you get a prime offensive guy that becomes your center hub offensively, and then those guys are able to do a ton of good work defensively to cover for whatever. And like to an extent this year, will that be CJ McCollum, assuming that he sticks around? Yeah, it like to an extent. But obviously, we're not talking about what this central hub is for 2025. We're talking about what it is in 2027, 2028. And if they win the draft lottery next year, then it's AJ DeBonta, and it's fine. But if you are looking for more immediate solutions and a potential huge upside swing on that central offensive hub-type player, Derek Queen is a guy that you're looking at in this draft. Trey Johnson's a guy you're looking at in this draft. Ace Bailey's a guy you're looking at in this draft. And those to me are like probably the three best guys on that. Cause even like, you know, Con Knipple, I think is going to wind up being a really good chance that Con Knipple is a better player than all those guys, but Con's like another complementary piece, a more offensive complementary piece than what they have, but an offensive piece versus like a guy who, the reason he's a lower rated player relative to say Con Knipple at this point is because he doesn't have the versatility, but he does have the higher upside to be a number one option offensively. So the Queen discussion is an interesting one. All right, who do you want the Wizards to take? Our draft show with Linnell starts in an hour, 301, or sorry, in a half hour, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too. At the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is our phone number. 301-230-0980. That is where you call us and tell us who you want to see the Wizards take tonight in the NBA draft. The decision makers just a couple floors down from us at the media center here at Wizards Draft HQ. We are here at the Wharf where the Wizards have set up shop for this year. So we are thrilled that they had us out to do the show. It's been great to have a couple of our media colleagues on. Josh Robbins at 4:30. Chase Hughes was just on from Monumental Sports Network. And we're taking your calls now. Starting off with Ray in Clinton. Ray, who do you want to see the Wizards take here in the 2025 NBA draft 90 minutes from now?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, you know, I mean, Ace Bailey there. I mean, they don't have a choice but to take him because of the upside. But if he's gone,
It's either going to be Malawi, man, or Derrick Queen, man. Derrick Queen got better offense than Malawi, but Malawi got the defense that they need. You know, they got the height that they need. And then with the 18th pick, man, I go ahead and get Clayton, man. Because that boy can play, man. And, you know, he got a good upside. He's small, but he got a good upside. You know, those small guards, man, they're little terrorists, but, you know, they can get taken advantage of. But that'll be my pick, man. Because the thing with Derrick Queen, this is, you know, with the knock on him. You know, the Wizards, I mean, the Commanders had a player just like Derrick Queen, okay? He could be a menace in college, but when you get to the pros, man, you can't take no time off, man. That's why Chase Young worked his way out of Washington, man. Because when you take plays off, man, you know, coaches notice that in the front office notice that, man. They're going to ship you out of here. So if Derrick Queen can learn how to just play, give his all, you know, hone his craft, and do what he's supposed to do as a basketball player, man, I really do think, man, that he'll be an all-star, for real, because he got it. He can post you. He can shoot. He can rebound. He can block shot. He do it all. But, you know, you can't take no time off, man. You know, that's just my take, man. But Walter Clayton at 18, I'm telling you, they need to get him. I'm telling you what I know. All right, I'm out.
All right, Ray. Ray and Clinton is out. Man, the little terrorist line, that's hilarious. And it's so true in the way that a lot of these big guards or a lot of these little guards play. They're just annoying. They just have a way of being, you know, little terrorist positive. You know, good thing. The thing with Clayton that's like kind of silly, that this is where I land, because I think he's going to be good. He's definitely undersized, but he's an older player. And I genuinely wonder at age 23 if that's a player that the Wizards want. They have traditionally gone younger, and so I feel like the upside swings is kind of where they've gone. But, you know, are they at a point now, a couple years into this, in their third draft, where they want some more maturity around, and a guy like Walter Clayton, who you can plug and play and, you know, can help you, you know, help these guys, but contractually he's going to be cheap for a couple of years. Like, is that a guy that could be really helpful? Yeah, definitely. I don't hate the idea, and he's not off my board because he's an older player for the Wizards, that's for sure. 301-230-0980 is the phone number, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Yes, good afternoon, Craig. I think at number six, if Trey Johnson is there, they should be able to take him. But if he's not there and he goes to Utah, I have a trade possibility for you. Okay. The Brooklyn Nets have 5 first-round picks. Why not flip, do a 2-for-1, and get like 8 and 27 for number six? That way they'll have 3 first-round picks just like they did last year. That gives them 7 first-round picks in the last 2.5 years, if you include A.J. Johnson's trade with Milwaukee. And what they always say, more bites of the apple, you have a better chance on hitting on 3 or 4 of them with those 7 than you would with less first-round picks. What do you think about that, sir? Thank you for your time. Bye.
Bob, I love that idea.
Yes?
I really think, like, actually, Chase and I, Chase Hughes, who was just on, for those that weren't listening, and I were talking in the break after he got done on the radio with us, and he's like, by the way, Brooklyn's up to something, right? They've got 5 first-round picks. And I was like, yeah, you don't take 5 guys. So, Bob, I appreciate the call a lot, and I appreciate that idea, and I like that idea specifically. I mean, obviously, if you can get one of the higher picks, if you can get maybe that 22nd pick they just acquired in the trade for Terrence Mann, as well as pick number 8 for 6, you should get more. But if it's 27, it's 27 or 25, I think they have as well, whatever the numbers are. I think that idea is great. It just comes down to like what kind of player or what are the tiers. And we talked about this a ton in the lead up to the NFL draft. Logan and I have talked about it for a couple of years in a row here with the Commanders and how we build that board on Take Command and how NFL teams build their boards. But the same is true for NBA players or NBA teams. Like ultimately you've got tiers. And if you can drop from 6 to 8 and not drop a tier. So let's say for whatever reason, like let's say they didn't have, and I have no idea if this is true. This is me completely talking out of my behind. Let's say they have Knipple and Fears lower, right, than everybody else. And those two guys go 3 and 5. And it's like, oh, okay, well, we've got Maliak, or Malawach, we've got Bailey, we've got Trey Johnson, and we have all those guys in the same tier. And because someone that we didn't have in that tier got taken higher, we know if we drop to 6 from 6 to 8, we might not have the guy who was the highest in that tier for us. Let's say it was Bailey, but Malawach. I'm going to get it right eventually. Watch, he's going to be the pick. That way I have to get it right. And by the way, the more I read and the more I watch, the more I'm fine with that. But let's say Malawach is definitely going to be available at 8, or Bailey or Johnson, and you drop down 100%. Because Brooklyn, what you're hoping is Brooklyn doesn't have it that way. That let's say Bailey is the guy for them, and they're like, let's take the swing on Ace Bailey. We have so many draft picks, and we know that he's a guy that wants to be here. We think that we can be the team that develops him. We think Jordy Fernandez is the right coach for him. Let's go get Ace Bailey. Sick. We'll take whichever guy doesn't go at 7, at 8, and we now have an extra pick. Or what you might have is the ability to package 18 and the other pick, 27, let's say, to move up to 12. And now let's say Noah Sange, the French kid, who's 18 years old and sick, like a legit 6'10", and is playing his face off the last 2 months for his German team. Let's say you can go get him at 12. Let's party. Let's move up. And I don't even know who's at 12, so that might be the wrong team. That team might definitely be staying. But that's kind of where I'm at. Is, you know, would the Wizards love to move up from 18? Yes, probably. Is there going to be a guy that falls that they want to? But then what do you have to give up to move? And right now, in terms of tradable assets, you don't want to give up future firsts. You've already traded the 40th pick. And contractually, Corey Kispert's kind of the last guy left. And I don't think they're in a rush to get rid of Corey by any stretch of the imagination for the right deal. They, you know, they're going to have to make moves. But Corey is a great piece for them to have. And so if you can acquire an extra late first rounder to tack on to 18, that gives you mobility. And what you might want, starting a night with, let's say it's 6 and 18, could you end with 8 and 12? And is that better? I think you can make a serious argument that four bites at the apple and the quality that you'll get at 12 versus 18 and the lack of quality that you'll lose between 6 and 8, that you could definitely make that argument. All right. Last but not least, never least, let's go to the JYD, Junkyard Dog, with us here on the Hoffman Show. JYD, who do you want the Wizards to take tonight at 6, presuming that they stay at 6?
They should go ahead, if they can, they take Ace Bailey. And then at the 14th pick, I think it's the 14th pick that 18. You take the kid from. I think he plays for Indiana. I think his name is Will Riley. He's a 6'9" guard.
Yeah, Riley's an interesting.
Needs to put on a little weight or whatever. But I think that's the way they should go. Get some length out there. Get length.
Yeah, the length and positional class has always been a big thing for them, so we'll see if they continue to roll with that tonight. JYD, appreciate the call. I think it's interesting that a lot of people are in on Bailey. There's a lot of questions about that dude, but if you get it right with him, the upside's as high as basically anybody in this draft, and that is hard to pass on, especially if you're in the Wizards' position. But I also know that this is a very patient group, very patient ownership group right now, very patient front office group. And if they don't think that the upside is actually there with Bailey or that they can reach it, they're not going to just take the swing for the sake of saying, we took a swing. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We get back, we will wrap up the show. I will throw a couple names out there, the order of which I would like to see them go off the board tonight for the Wizards. So I'll give you my predictions. Anthony will chime in with his as well. And then we will pass things off to Linnell for the draft show starting officially at 7 o'clock here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wrapping up here from Wizards Draft HQ, Linnell is here. He's only got a limited amount of voice, so we're gonna just let him wait till 7 o'clock to put a headset on. But I'm gonna stick around for a little bit. I think pop around, pop back in before I head out of here. But we are live at Wizards Draft HQ here on the Team 980. Linnell leads our coverage starting at 7 o'clock, which means that we are almost done. Anthony Haney. I think that when I think of who I want on the board for Washington at six, from what I know, which I admit is a limited amount compared to what the folks downstairs know, I still kind of sit at Trey Johnson as my favorite prospect in that range. I would love if Knipple was available. I don't think he's going to be. I really like Edgecombe a lot as well. I think he's their kind of guy. The athleticism is crazy. You don't get balls of clay like that. So when you get one, you take it and you mold it how you can. But the offensive shot making and the shooting of Trey Johnson, the athleticism, which leads to some potential on the defensive end in theory, I think Trey Johnson's like my guy, if you will. I like Jeremiah Fears quite a bit too. Ace Bailey, I like, and I would trust if they think they can get him. Like, if they like what they saw in that, apparently, again, Kirsten Peak reporting that Bailey did have a private workout with the Wizards. Maluwach. Good gracious. The big guy from Duke. If they, like, I'm good with all of those dudes. I really, really like the idea of trading down and acquiring extra capital and then hopefully trading back up from 18. But those, I think that's kind of my order. Although, come on, Maluwach, the more I think about it, the more I want to put him up, like, basically right behind Trey Johnson.
Well, I told Will Dawkins about 2 weeks ago who I thought, you know, the Wizards should draft. Mm-hmm. And here it is 2 weeks later. Craig Hoffman is agreeing with me.
Oh, God. That means we're all going to get fired.
Hey, look, I'm not going to lie. That's a lot of pressure.
It is. Well, as long as, in Will's opinion, you're better at basketball scouting than you are at football scouting. Based
maybe
on
that's what it is.
With him in the past.
Maybe that's
you know,
what
just
it
because
is.
You're good at one doesn't mean you're good at the other. You know, they're different sports. So maybe you're good at basketball scouting, Anthony. Maybe Trey Johnson is the right guy.
Hey, look, it's all about perspective.
It's all about perspective. So that you're with me. Trey Johnson's the guy of that kind of group, the non-flag Harper group that you hope falls to six.
I think he could be the guy that we could potentially build around. I think Maluwach would be a great, you know, piece to add here. But I don't know if you're building, you know, your franchise around this play. Like, would you say Trey Johnson and maybe even Ace Bailey are the two players outside of those Dylan Harper and Cooper Flag range where you can, you know, see the franchise, them being like a franchise cornerstone? Maybe
yeah,
Khan.
I mean,
I don't know about Khan. Maybe
I don't
not Khan.
Think Khan is. I like Khan's. Khan is like.
Great piece.
You're hoping he's like Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Like that's the best version of Khan Knipple. But I mean, Klay was an all everything defender. And I don't think Khan. Like, Khan might not be a liability, but I think that. I think if you're looking at. Like Flag, yes. Harper, yes. Bailey, like what we're talking about, potential, yes.
Yeah.
Johnson, like if he turns into Devin Booker, yeah. Malawach, no.
No.
Fears is like the intriguing one. Like when I watched him, I was watching some more of his stuff earlier today. Like, is he De'Aaron Fox? And like, if he is, then what? Like that borderline all-star, sometimes all-star tier player is like a really interesting guy, especially if he's a smaller score first point guard who has limited shooting range. Now, De'Aaron a couple years ago turned into a sniper from three, and that's the year that the Kings got the three seed and were awesome.
Yeah.
But then now he's been traded, and you know,
it also just took him so long though, also to grow into
which
that
the Wizards
player.
Have the patience for that.
Yeah.
So like, is Fears De'Aaron Fox, and if so, like you should probably take him because I don't know how many of these dudes are gonna be better than De'Aaron Fox is. Like De'Aaron Fox is a multi-time All Star.
Yeah.
So it's the. Song, the French kid, is the other one that I think is really, really, really interesting. He's got a ton of potential. So 7 o'clock tonight, which is 5 minutes from now. I'm taking this headset off. Linnell's going to put it or a different one on. If you want to wipe this one down and you know disinfect it, he can use a different headset. That's his call. But you can listen to our draft coverage all night here on the Team 980. Again, draft starts at 8. Picks are theoretically 5 minutes long, so sometime around 8:30, we should be seeing the Wizards on the clock. Tomorrow we'll have full reaction to this. We will try to have some guests on. We'll have all the things, and excited to talk about it tomorrow. As the Wizards continue their rebuild, they continue putting the pieces together. The next piece gets added just over 90 minutes from now. Appreciate everyone for the Wizards for having us out here at Draft HQ. Stay tuned because we're picking up there with Linnell next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.